Janis Joplin there. That's a try. And guess who we've got on the phone? Kathy Richardson is now, she is Janis Joplin in the new production, Love Janis. Hey, welcome, Kathy. You've been doing this run for, now in San Francisco, you've been doing a run now for a couple of months. But this has been going on for a couple of years, hasn't it?
Yes, it has. For me, on and off. I first joined the show in 1999 in Chicago. I think it had run a couple other places before that. And we had a pretty short run there, about 4 months. And we were just, the whole time, the show was sort of working its way for an off-Broadway run, which it eventually did land there. It ran off-Broadway for almost 2 years.
And I was lucky enough to get to see it here in San Francisco in there was a Friends of Chet Helms night. There were 100 tickets sold, and what was most unique was you got some surprisingly, appreciative isn't the is too much an understatement. There were people who knew Janis. These were people, you know, Stanley Mouse was in the audience, Bruce Dowser, any number of different people who were in the rock industry, whether as musicians, whether as, you know, Johnny Helms was there, all of these people who knew Janis intimately. And so they had seen her, and what struck me most was when you first took the mic, everybody has this image of Janis as being very erratic and jumping around like crazy, like she's on crack or something like that. Mm-hmm. You walked up to the mic, and you looked very simple and very, very calm, and you just opened up, and bam, and the audience, this audience of people who knew her, they knew you were doing it right. And from the first moment you opened your mouth, the performance went very well. So, you know, it's an understatement to say this can have a long run.
Well, thank you. I mean, ultimately, I think just from a spiritual perspective, like, I think that it's taken this long for the show to come here to San Francisco because it's taken this long to get it right, you know, and I think we finally got it right. You know, there was a lot of problems with the production over the years, and not necessarily with the creatives or the people that were involved, you know, from the family end and stuff, but maybe more like producers and stuff like that, that were more, you know, they're looking at it as a way to make money as opposed to telling this story and honoring this great woman, you know, who gave us so much in such a short period of time. And I think that's what I care about the most. Those are the people that I want to please, because...
Are you there?
And understand who she was as a person and as a musician and you know, as a singer and everything that she was and represented. I came to love her and care so much about representing her in a way that honored her, as opposed to, I don't know, thinking of it as some sort of career move for myself or something like that, you know?
Well, you know, I can remember years ago, probably almost 15 years ago, I've known Chet for quite a little while, and being in his studios, and there were different people who were trying to, whether it was this production in particular or other ones similar to it, and they were constantly barraging him with his imprimatur to put together something like this. And I think you're probably right that, you know, the time has finally come, and it really has. We did an interview with Sam Andrew, who is a guitarist for the Big Brother and the Holding Company. He's the musical director for this.
Yeah.
And and Bill Hamm, of course, is doing the lights. So, you know, this really is the real thing in its own right. But the setup of it is these are letters, right? And she had written, what is it, 25 letters, or are there more than that that she had written?
There's like 12 letters in the show. I'm not really sure how many ultimately there were that she had written home to her mother over that course of time, from, and the show picks up from, gets to San Francisco in 66, you know, with the dear mom and dad. Don't be mad, but I'm in San Francisco and I'm going to be a rock star. And then, like, you know, getting philosophical about life and fame and what it all means, you know. So, yes, those letters are presented as monologues by an actress who's Morgan Hallett, who's really, really great. And then there's the other part of the show is the live music performed with the band, myself singing and alternating in the role with Katrina Chester. And we do the live band with the, like you said, the psychedelic light show and the whole thing. It's really awesome.
Yeah, and it has its simple elegance, but I'll tell you, it really fills up the theater. You know, obviously, Sam knows how to do the sound for a theater, and it comes across as that's not a huge theater at all. I think it's what, 600 people at best or something.
Yeah,
and so it you know, obviously it could be slamming loud, but it's perfect audio. And almost anywhere in the house you can get a great seat plus a great it comes out so strong. But it's also a really touching story. Now, I guess you're mentioning that there were about a dozen letters that you're referring to, but then if I remember right, there were also something like 125 different letters that she had written to a boyfriend or something. So virtually everything that's in the production is her words.
Yeah. It's taken from her letters and interviews with the press. She did a lot of interviews over those 4 years too.
Right. Now, what was also pretty dynamic was the, I mean, there were two scenes in there that are pretty profound, and they're not just tastefully done, but they're done very. Very expertly, one being her heroin addiction, and how the well, there's a famous quote that she does. In fact, I think she talks about it once that she wants to write a song. I just made love to 20,000 people, and I went home alone.
Yeah.
And so the whole heroin addiction, the idea of this real dichotomy of a life where she goes to this immense glory and then all of a sudden has to go into a shell.
That's very much the life. I mean, that's a very difficult aspect of being a performer, because you go out on stage and you get this high, and you know. I mean, there she was at the top of superstardom, getting the highest of highs. And it's a very short period of time that you're actually on stage, you know, like, you know, I play in a rock band too. And, you know, outside of this show, I have my own band, and I have for years. And, you know, it's like you get to the gig like 12 hours early and, you know, to set up. Or if you're a big star like Janice, you probably don't even have to go there. You don't even have to be there, you know. So you've got all this downtime. And you're in nothing to do, and you don't know anyone except everyone on your crew and your band who you're sick of. And, you know, you get those 30 minutes or an hour or whatever it is on stage, and then that's it. You know, it's like, where do you go from there? How do you keep, you know, that's why I think so many rock musicians got into alcohol and drugs, because it's like you want to keep that high going after the show.
Right. Well, and then there was certainly an industry, the parasites of the industry that are very interested in keeping somebody addicted.
Right.
You know, there's no better way than to rip them off of their contract than to get them loaded. And then, oops, well, your change, here you go. And you make sure they're most about as high as they can get when you give them the change. So.
Right. Yeah. I wonder, I think, you know, in those times that may have been more prevalent. I don't think it's as nearly as acceptable now. Like, I don't think it's cool if you're in the biz. Like, they don't want to deal with people who are on drugs, you know, because they're difficult to deal with, you know.
Yeah, this is Tom. jumping in because I've been around musicians for a bunch of years. And, you know, one of the worst things in the field is the fact that people bring drugs to the musicians so they can get the backstage contact, you know.
Right.
And I recently have lost, you know, several friends of mine to drugs because of that.
And yeah, it's really, you know, it's scary, and it's just, it's not something to mess around with. But you know, when you get that feeling like you're invincible. Well, she was young. First of all, she was 27 rather, and you know, I mean, you're just starting to figure things out by the time you hit 30. You know, to my mind, like, it's like you think that you're going to live forever. Or maybe there was part of her, you know, she does talk about having a part of her that wanted to do herself in, you know.
Well, and that was the second part that was pretty incredibly tastefully done, and that was when her obituary is mentioned. I guess it starts out, well, I don't want to spoil it for the potential audience here, but it's very incredibly done. This, as you mentioned before, there's one actress who plays Janice in the speaking roles, and then you, and because of the strenuousness of the singing, you alternate with another singer, and the two of you alternate night by night. But the singer and the actress both share the moment of her passing, and it's as if you're ghosts and you're looking down on us all. So, yeah, very, very, very tastefully done. And, well, like they say, make them laugh, make them cry, and sing a song when you go. So
That's right. Right. Well, I think, you know, the other thing about the play is we all know that Janice died tragically, you know, and that's part of the story, but I love that the story doesn't end there, or the show doesn't end there. We come out with kind of like a mini concert, and it kicks you in the butt and leaves you feeling happy. You know, she was, we were left with this incredible legacy of music, and this incredible character of Janice, who she was as a person. You know, so she does live on through the music, and that's kind of the triumph out of the tragedy, you know.
Well, that's right, and she's going to definitely be a timeless figure, and so it's I definitely am going to urge people to get out there and see this. You do a very nice job of it. It's
Thank you. I
can't understate it or overstate it enough. The audience that was there that night, they knew her, and they knew exactly that. You know, she was not some erratic buffoon or a clown or something like that. She was a serious artist in her own right. And the simplicity of the way you handle that is probably the high point of it. And it's almost so subtle that if it had been another night, I may not have recognized it as such. So, yeah, just make sure you don't ham it up. That's going to be the...
Well, thank you.
Yeah, that's the good one. So, yeah, again, this is the production of Love, Janice, and it's these are letters from Janice Joplin to her parents as well as to a boyfriend, and you'll be doing this run for time immemorial here here in San Francisco. It'll be running until late September?
Yes.
And then with any luck, if there's a big enough draw, you'll be running till you're 99 or something, huh?
That's what I hope. I can't do it till I'm 99, but I want to do it as long as I can, so I hope that people will come out and see it, because I love San Francisco. I never want to leave, so I hope everyone in San Francisco will come see this show. Everyone visiting San Francisco will come see it. And so, you know, they can have a great time, and I never have to go back to Chicago.
Well, no, there's not. Well, I guess you do have the hawk up there. That's good. Hey, we sure thank you, Kathy. This has been an interview with Kathy Richardson. She's one of the singers. There are two singers with the production Love, Janice, a production about Janice Joplin. virtually an autobiographical one that Janice didn't realize she was writing. Hey, thanks again for your time,
Kathy. For having me. Thank you so much.
Oh, our pleasure. Yeah, and go out there and break a leg, okay?
All right, I'll try.
All right.
You guys around.
Right. Yeah, that was great. Let's. I figure probably a good follow-up for that interview is Cosmic Blues.
I got some old Cosmic Blues again, Mama. Talking about the Cosmic Blues. You know what I mean, man? If you don't know what I mean, you will soon enough. So... keeps moving on. Friends, they turn away. You'll keep moving on, but I never found out. I keep picking the order, babe. I keep trying to make it right to another lonely day. Whoa. This 25 a year, but it's just one night. When I want you, I'll say that.